Whatever the motives, nothing, of course, can excuse this massacre, but counseling soldiers during wartime can be relentlessly challenging. Charles Figley is a trauma expert at Tulane University's Graduate School of Social Work. He says it's easy to overlook the stresses of a job that involves listening to soldiers speak about the unspeakable.
It is probably one of the hardest jobs. I have been involved over the recent years with the Navy, Marine Corps, Army, and Air Force, especially the Army and Navy, trying to help their caregivers, because the military has recognized how difficult and hard it is for their caregivers, and they actually lose people. They quit the military because it's so hard. So yes, this is a very high concentration of very, very hard, difficult, emotionally draining work.
What kind of mechanisms are in place in the military to care for the caregivers?
Well, that's a good question, and there was really nothing, frankly, until probably 2005, I think it's really when it began to get traction in terms of getting funding and sufficient support at the highest level. In the Army, for example, the strategy was to make sure that every single person who is at least a medical or mental health-related caregiver receives an orientation identifying the costs and also the benefits of working with warfighters and the common signs and symptoms of secondary traumatic stress. It's also called compassion fatigue, vicarious trauma, and then some strategies for self-care. In addition, there have been quite a bit of work in all of the branches focusing on institutional awareness, and that the command needs to be more cognizant of the needs of these psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, family therapists who are providing these services.
So it sounds like there is a screening process for a military psychiatrist that recognizes the need for support for these psychiatrists, but do you think it is a screening process that is as vigilant that the best hospitals for civilians go through?
Yes, because the civilians are worse, I think. I think that the recognition, the awareness of secondary trauma is greater, actually, within the military today. We couldn't say that a number of years ago, but we certainly can today. On the other hand, as you might guess, as the wars continue on, it's harder and harder to recruit and hold on to maintain these highly educated, well-trained caregivers. I have probably worked with, either lectured to or consulted with, probably over 1,000 military professionals, caregivers, over the last 5 or so years, and they are an extraordinary group of people. They're highly dedicated, not just in terms of patriotism to their country, but highly dedicated to these war fighters, those that stepped up and were willing to defend their country. There is such passion and compassion among these men and women. So I think they certainly are as good or better than their civilian counterparts with regard to empathy, bedside manners, whatever variable you want to talk about.
Yeah, again, I mean, we're not trying to create excuses for what happened. In fact, you know, the details are still very much out there. We should say that, Professor Figley, that you're at a conference today. It's a conference of the International Society for Traumatic Stress Studies in Atlanta. You must be talking about this incident with your colleagues. What are people saying?
Yes, just 2 hours ago, I was talking with a group of military caregivers, and yeah, it's very much on the minds of everybody, certainly these men and women.
Charles Figley is a trauma expert at Tulane University's Graduate School of Social Work. Thank you very much for speaking with us indeed.
Happy to do it, Marco.